Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump meets Kim Jong-un in Vietnam.
And hopefully it's going to be successful. We'll see what happens.
Assets in India and Pakistan slump as tensions between the countries rise.
The pound strengthens ahead of the latest Brexit vote.
And Jerome Powell heads to Capitol Hill for a second day of testimony.
Pakistan shot down two Indian warplanes in the worst escalation between the two nations in decades. Plus, ex-Trump lawyer Michael Cohen testifies before Congress. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another win for the suddenly hot Knicks. They came from behind to beat Orlando at the Garden. The Islanders lost to Calgary.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are falling as rising geopolitical tensions ripple across markets. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 67, NASDAQ futures down 13, the DAX in Germany is down 0.6%, CAC in Paris down 0.3%, the FTSE 100 is down 0.8%, Nikkei 225 in Japan up 0.5%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was little changed. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.63%, yield on the 2-year 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.5% or 82 cents to $56.31 a barrel. COMEX gold that'll change at $13.28.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.95. The yen, 110.44. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Vietnam with President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un beginning day one of their second summit.
I look forward to the meeting tonight with Chairman Kim.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's going to be successful. We'll see what happens.
The two leaders are scheduled to meet about 30 minutes from now. Let's head to Hanoi for details from Bloomberg's Stephen Engel.
Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un meet for 20 minutes. They're going to have a face-to-face meeting before their sit-down dinner. And that is a preface to tomorrow when the big summit happens between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump.
And just over an hour ago, President Trump pushed back on Twitter at reports of low expectations from this summit. He called it false reporting, writing, quote, Kim Jong-un and I will try very hard to work something out on denuclearization.
Geopolitics is also in focus west of Vietnam, with tensions between India and Pakistan ratcheting up for a second day. Pakistani fighter jets shot down two Indian aircraft today after India bombed targets inside Pakistan yesterday. And that's dragging down assets across the region. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Indian stocks, bonds and the rupee paired earlier solid gains as Pakistani fighter jets struck at targets inside Indian-controlled Kashmir. The CSI 300 in mainland China was down 0.2% on the close after earlier being in the green, while equities came off their highs in Australia and Japan. The Nikkei 225 was up by 0.5% on the close in Tokyo to 21,556 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sally. Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. And Pakistan's benchmark stock index has lost about $3 billion so far this week.
In the UK, the pound is strengthening again today ahead of another Brexit vote in Parliament. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Theresa May heading into that vote appearing to have staved off a substantial rebellion from her own ministers. But the cost was a significant climb down. She promised them votes to take a no-deal departure off the table and to delay Brexit. May said she'll continue attempts, though, to reach a deal in Brussels so the UK can leave as planned on March the 29th. Meanwhile, leading Brexit purist Jacob Rees-Mogg, who's opposed the deal, appears to be softening his stance, making it more likely that the divorce agreement could win parliamentary approval next month. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Here in the U.S., Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell heads to Capitol Hill for a second day of testimony after giving no indication he's ready to alter policy anytime soon. Michael McKee reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Fed chairman largely repeated the central bank's by now standard message. The U.S. economy is slowing but remains healthy. Market volatility, lower global growth, and trade wars are cross-currents that make forecasting hard, Powell says. But with prices under control, policymakers can wait for additional data before deciding whether they need to raise or lower interest rates. In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thanks. Also on the Hill today, lawmakers get an update on trade talks between the U.S. and China in a briefing from Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. Bloomberg's Irv Chapman has details from Capitol Hill.
Robert Lighthizer is a longtime critic of China's restrictive trade policies, and with Treasury Secretary Mnuchin was at the table as the latest round of talks were extended over the weekend. Lighthizer is likely to be asked about the incident in the Oval Office when he spoke of drafting memoranda of understanding. The president said they don't mean anything. And was that a sign of frustration that the negotiations are a tough slog? On Capitol Hill, Irv Chapman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Irv, thank you. Shares of Weight Watchers are plummeting, down more than 30% in early trading after disappointing fourth quarter results. Bloomberg's John Tucker has the story.
The company says member recruitment will decline this year. It's targeting profit that's less than half of what analysts have been estimating. And revenue will be about $1.4 billion, below the nearly $1.7 billion that was projected. Weight Watchers says its marketing campaign during the key winter diet season failed to resonate, and it plans to lean more heavily on Oprah Winfrey in its upcoming ads. Oprah owns more than 8% of the company. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And earnings from home improvement retailer Lowe's crossing the Bloomberg fourth quarter profit, beating analyst estimates, but comp sales just missing, up 1.7%. Nathan.
Shares of Mylan, Karen, are down more than 11% in early trading. The generic drug maker is forecasting earnings well below estimates and says it'll do everything and anything to unlock value as sales decline.
In Europe, shares of Rio Tinto are up 1%. The mining company's earnings beat estimates. It's also announcing a $4 billion special dividend.
Shares of Metro Bank are down nearly 20% in London after word British regulators are probing how the bank misclassified assets. Metro says authorities will investigate the circumstances and events that led the bank to adjust its risk-weighted assets last month.
And Boeing has signed deals to buy 110 aircraft from two Vietnamese airlines during President Trump's visit to Hanoi. The agreements with Bamboo Airways and Vietjet are valued at more than $15 billion. Right now, futures are lower. S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 69, and NASDAQ futures down 14. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Pakistan says its Air Force shot down two Indian warplanes after they crossed the boundary between the two nuclear-armed rivals in the disputed territory of Kashmir. Pakistan military spokesman Major General Asif Ghaffour told reporters in Islamabad it's not in response to India's aerial strikes the day before.
It is not a retaliation. It is demonstration of our capability, capacity, and will.
Two Indian pilots were captured. It's the worst escalation between the two countries since the 1971 war. President Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen plans to tell a congressional committee about alleged misdeeds by his former boss. Cohen claims that Trump knew during the 2016 presidential election that his ally Roger Stone was talking to WikiLeaks about a release of hacked Democratic National Committee emails. The House voted to block President Trump's declaration of a national emergency on the U.S.-Mexico border, sending the measure to the Senate. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz says the president's claims about the U.S. border are not true.
There is no border emergency. That is a fabrication. The administration's own statistics show that crossings and apprehensions are at a historic low.
However, Republican Representative Debbie Lasko stands behind President Trump.
The majority last year tried to pass legislation that would not only secure the border, but as a compromise would have given legal status to the DACA recipients. Not one Democrat voted for it. Can we please get together and solve this problem?
Three people were killed last night when a vehicle was hit by two Long Island Railroad trains traveling in opposite directions in Westbury. MTA President Philip Ng.
The gates were down. The lights were flashing. We've confirmed that they were functioning. Witnesses have said that the vehicle went around the gates, at which point the train that was leaving, heading eastbound, and the vehicle collided.
Democrat Jumaane Williams has won a special election to serve as New York City's public advocate. The city councilman from Brooklyn defeated 16 other candidates yesterday to win the office. In Chicago, two mayoral candidates prepare to face off in an April runoff election. Former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkel, both African-Americans, emerged as two leaders in Tuesday's voting. Nigerian opposition presidential candidate Atiku Abubakar says that he rejects the results of an election won by incumbent Muhammadu Buhari and will challenge them in court. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Now time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashire.
Nathan, break up the Knicks. They went a month and a half without a win, even longer without one at home, but suddenly they're hot. Back-to-back victories, first time since November, 3-4 overall at the Garden. Knicks came from 16 down to top Orlando, a team that was playing well coming in, 108-103. The Knicks bench scored 75 points, led by Emmanuel Mudiay's 19 and Alonzo Trier with 18. Islanders went back to the Coliseum, gave up a couple goals in the third period, lost to Calgary 3-1. The Capitals won, so the Isles are now tied for first in the Metropolitan Division with Washington. College hoops, ACC, Duke again without its star Zion Williamson, lost at Virginia Tech 77-72. North Carolina came from behind to down Syracuse 93-85. The freshman Kobe White, 34 points for the Tar Heels. One of baseball's best players has agreed to a mega contract. It's not Bryce Harper. The word was his deal with the Phillies would be wrapped up by now. That hasn't happened. The Dodgers swooped in last weekend and met with Harper. It's now said to be between those two teams. But Nolan Arenado agreed to a new contract to stay with Colorado. It'll pay him $32 million a year. Mets third baseman Todd Frazier has an oblique injury.
A new thing, man. I was hitting the ball great, and just at the end just felt a little tightness on my left side, and classified as just a strain of my left oblique. So that was basically it. Trying to get healthy, that's all. So that's a big thing for me, and not the best start, but you know, luckily it happened here in spring training, and we can nip this thing in the bud and get ready for the season.
Mets split their squads, both lost. Yankees got rained out. Baseball has experimented with a pitch clock this spring. The word is it won't be used in the regular season for a few years. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures down 6 points. Dow futures down 72. NASDAQ futures down 15 and a half. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump and Kim Jong-un are meeting one-on-one in Hanoi. The U.S. president says the summit, quote, may very well turn out to be successful. Michael Cohen will dish the dirt on his former boss today. Prepared remarks show Cohen will say President Trump knew that Roger Stone was discussing hacked DNC emails with WikiLeaks. Saudi Arabia is rebuffing the president's call for lower prices, saying OPEC cuts will probably extend into the second half. Saudi's energy minister says reducing the glut remains the priority. And Goldman Sachs says the global economy may have bottomed. The firm is positive on risk assets, bearish on the dollar, and sees bond yields rising. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. And again, home improvement retailer Lowe's reporting fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Comp sales were up 1.7% in the quarter, and that just missed. S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures down 65. NASDAQ futures down 15. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd yield, 2.63%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.6% or 91 cents to $56.41 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 90 cents at $13.29.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1401. The yen, 110.44. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats and some Republicans passed a measure to block President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the U.S. border with Mexico. The president's declaration is aimed at bypassing Congress to use Pentagon funds for construction of his proposed border wall. The bill now goes to the Senate. Pakistan said its Air Force shot down two Indian warplanes after they crossed the boundary in the disputed region of Kashmir and captured two Indian pilots. In the NBA, the Knicks beat the Magic. The Celtics lost. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Bruins and Capitals were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up on 620 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, as President Trump gets set for dinner tonight in Hanoi with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Let's go live to Hanoi now. Bloomberg News correspondent Jihae Lee joins us. Can you set the scene for us, Jihae?
Yes, as you can hear behind me, there are a lot of horns honking in the street. What just happened is I'm currently standing outside of Melia Hotel, which is where Kim Jong-un is staying. He just left with his motorcade to the Sofitel, which is the location that he'll be meeting U.S. President Donald Trump for a social dinner as well as a one-on-one meeting.
So this is the dinner portion of the two-day summit. How would you describe the way things have gone so far?
Well, so far, what we know is Kim Jong-un's nuclear envoy, whose name is Kim Hyok-chul, we did a profile on him for Bloomberg News earlier this month. His counterpart, Stephen Biegun, these two have been holding hours and hours of working-level talks to put together what Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump will be signing in terms of denuclearization. Given that Kim Hyok-chul is not a denuclearization expert, but a nuclear deterrence expert, we can only predict what will go on ultimately on the joint statement. But as for the social dinner, maybe it won't be as so serious. Maybe it'll be a little lighter than that.
So then we are expecting that there will be another statement for the two leaders to sign then. Do we have any idea what the details are at this point?
Well, we don't have the specifics, obviously, but we do have somewhat of an idea of what North Korea wants and what the U.S. wants. The U.S. has always wanted a complete verified mechanism of how North Korea is going to denuclearize, and North Korea has always wanted compensation measures, including the lifting of economic sanctions. It's also one thing that a lot of analysts have been worrisome about Donald Trump being rather hastily actioning when it comes to lifting sanctions on North Korea.
Now, of course, you've been watching the president's Twitter feed, I imagine, along with the rest of us. The president trying to push back at reports that he set low expectations for this summit, writing that Kim Jong-un and I will try very hard to work something out on denuclearization and then making North Korea an economic powerhouse. How do you read that?
Well, that's the thing. It's all about compromise, isn't it? When it comes to Donald Trump, when it comes to Kim Jong-un, they both have internal domestic politics that they leave behind at home when they fly away to Hanoi. So whatever they do here, whatever outcome they reach at the summit, it will be, in a way, strategic for them because of these domestic issues that they face back at home. It'll be easy for them to gain back some of the popularity that may have slipped between their fingers. The end of war declaration is a very low-hanging fruit for both head of state to easily declare. Kim Jong-chul has also stated that just because you declare the end of war, North Korea will not be asking the U.S. troops to leave South Korea. So that could be one thing that analysts could look forward to.
Yeah, one question I've had in the run-up to this summit is whether the President Trump, the U.S. president, is under more pressure to get something more substantive than the statement he and Chairman Kim signed in the Singapore summit. Could we see more teeth from what comes out of Hanoi?
Well, a lot of the North Korea watchers and the experts say if we don't see more teeth, that means it's pretty much self-explanatory that these summits are absolutely useless. Because the Singapore joint statement that they signed back in June 2018, the words were so ambiguous. They talked about denuclearization. They talked about certain promises. They talked about development. But, the actual details and what concrete steps would be made to denuclearize North Korea, to declare the end of war, and what would come out of that wasn't set. And so from the Hanoi summit, the details are expected to be set. If not, it would be considered definitely a disappointment, to say the least.
Bloomberg News correspondent Jihae Lee, one of our large team of reporters and correspondents following President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ahead of their second summit in Hanoi, Vietnam. the two leaders getting ready for dinner this evening, local time, followed by the formal summit tomorrow. Ahead of all that, futures pointing to a lower open on Wall Street, with S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 64 right now, NASDAQ futures down 14 and a half. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it is 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Red headline just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un shake hands to begin their summit in Hanoi, Vietnam. Stay with Bloomberg Radio for frequent updates as the summit begins in Hanoi. Karen.
And we are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Nathan, we'll get you up to date on some more news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world as rising geopolitical tensions grip the markets. Pakistani fighter jets shot down two Indian aircraft today after India bombed targets inside Pakistan yesterday. We have the very latest on that story in just a moment.
A lot going on this morning. First, traders await the second day of Jerome Powell's testimony to Congress. Yesterday, the Fed chairman signaled interest rate hikes are still on hold.
Even now, with really historically low unemployment and a great recovery in the labor markets, we still see muted inflation pressures. And that gives us the ability to be patient with monetary policy. And that's what we're going to do.
And Powell testifies before the House Financial Services Committee today at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
Also in Washington today, lawmakers get an update on trade talks between the U.S. and China in a briefing from Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer.
In Europe, U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May has bought herself more time to get a Brexit deal. Bloomberg's Alex Morales reports from London.
Theresa May bought off Remainer rebels in her ministerial team with the promise of votes to rule out a no-deal Brexit and delay the U.K.'s exit from the European Union. The Premier told lawmakers in Parliament on Tuesday that she'll continue attempts to reach a deal in Brussels so the U.K. can leave as planned on March the 29th. She hopes to put that to a vote in the House of Commons by March the 12th, and if that's rejected, a vote will follow by March the 13th on whether to rule out no deal. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Alex, thank you. Two Vietnamese airlines have signed deals with Boeing to buy 110 passenger jets. The agreements have a list price of $15.7 billion.
Shares of Weight Watchers are down nearly 35% in early trading. The company posted a full-year forecast well below estimates and says member recruitment will decline this year.
Mylan shares are down 10%. The maker of generic drugs says adjusted earnings will fall short of estimates.
Home improvement retailer Lowe's is out with earnings that missed estimates. Fourth quarter revenue and same-store sales both fell short of projections.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 6 points this morning. Dow futures are down 65. NASDAQ futures down 16. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32. They yield 2.62%. They yield on the two-year 2.47%. And the euro at $1.14. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com. To learn more, let's learn more of what's going on around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It started with a handshake as they both posed for pictures. President Trump is now getting ready to have dinner with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam. The president will be seeking progress toward the North giving up its nuclear weapons.
I look forward to the meeting tonight with Chairman Kim, and hopefully it's going to be successful. We'll see what happens.
Kim expects to return home with economic rewards, including partial sanctions relief, as they talk during the summit. It is the worst escalation between the two nuclear-armed nations since the 1971 war. Pakistani fighter jets have shot down two Indian aircraft just after the India Air Force said it bombed a terrorist training camp inside Pakistan. Two Indian pilots were captured. President Trump's former personal lawyer is planning to tell a House committee that the president knew ahead of time that WikiLeaks had emails damaging to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. In prepared testimony obtained by several news agencies, Michael Cohen says that Trump implicitly told him to lie about a Moscow real estate project. Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell says if the revelations are true, the president may be in legal trouble.
It looks now more than any evidence we've had before that there may be an indictment waiting for the president of the United States when he leaves office, which is, something that is quite disturbing to think about.
A top House Republican ally of President Trump sent a warning to Cohen on the eve of his scheduled public testimony. Florida Representative Matt Gaetz tweeted, quote, "Do your wife and father-in-law know about your girlfriends? Maybe tonight would be a good time for a chat. I wonder if she'll remain faithful when you're in prison." Gaetz was asked about his tweet.
We're witness testing, not witness tampering. And when witnesses come before Congress, their truthfulness and veracity are in question, and we have the opportunity to test them.
And right now, President Trump and Kim Jong-un are speaking live at the summit in Vietnam. Let's go there live.
Successful. And some people would like to see it go quicker. I'm satisfied. You're satisfied. We want to be happy with what we're doing, but I thought the first summit was a great success, and I think this one hopefully will be equal or greater than the first. And we made a lot of progress, and I think the biggest progress was our relationship is really a good one.
We're listening to President Trump speaking as he meets for the first time in Hanoi, Vietnam, alongside North Korean leader Kim Jong-un ahead of their informal dinner this evening. The North Korean translator is translating the president's remarks to Chairman Kim. He says that the best achievement from their first summit in Singapore was their better relationship. Let's continue to listen in now.
And as I've said many times, and I say it to the press, I say it to anybody that wants to listen, I think that your country has tremendous economic potential, unbelievable, unlimited. And I think that you will have a tremendous future with your country, a great leader. And I look forward to watching it happen and helping it to happen. And we will help it to happen.
Again, you're listening to a translator as President Trump makes introductory remarks as the summit begins in Hanoi, Vietnam, with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un emphasizing what the president hopes will be an economic boom for North Korea to come out of this summit if the North agrees to denuclearize. Live coverage on Bloomberg Radio.
Appreciate it. And we're going to go have dinner, and then we have some big meeting scheduled for tomorrow, and we'll see you, I guess, at a news conference at some point during the day. Thank you very much.
President Trump concluding his introductory remarks at the start of the Hanoi summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. They're about to head into dinner, and as you just heard moments ago, the president says following that dinner there may be a joint news conference. We'll continue to bring you updates as they happen. In the meantime, let's get the Bloomberg NBC sports update as we come up to 6:38 on Wall Street. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, what's going on with the Knicks? They lost 18 in a row. They lost 18 in a row at home. Suddenly, back-to-back home wins, three of the last four overall. At the Garden, they trailed Orlando by 16. They were down 12 entering the fourth quarter. Suddenly, they outscored the Magic 30-13 in the fourth and won 108-103. No Knicks starter scored in double figures, but four came off the bench to do so, including the young center, Mitchell Robinson, who had 17 points, 14 rebounds, and six block shots, and an unknown Henry Ellenson, just signed to a 10-day contract, came out of nowhere to score 13 with three three-pointers. He had nine boards and five assists. Coach David Fizdale.
Fantastic minutes. He played really well. Scott Perry was, telling me about this kid. He said, this guy, drafted 18th. He's got some talent. Has lost his confidence. Let's see if we can build him up and see what we have. We got him in practice. After his first two shots in practice, the kid settled in, and he's been playing good basketball for us ever since. And, I didn't think I was going to play him 36 minutes, but he played so well.
Toronto blew out slumping Boston. Fifth straight win for Denver. The Nuggets down Oklahoma City. The Islanders beaten by Calgary at the Coliseum 3-1. In the ACC, Syracuse had a lead at the half but fell at North Carolina 93-85. Virginia Tech upset Duke 77-72. Yankees got rained out. Mets split squads both lost. Todd Frazier going to miss some time with an oblique injury. The big baseball story, the new contract agreed to by Nolan Arenado in Colorado. 8 years, $260 million. He could have been a free agent next winter. Bryce Harper still an unsigned free agent. The deal with the Phillies hasn't happened yet. Dodgers now said to be in the running to land Harper. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thanks. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report with Bob Moon.
It has been a thorn in the side of U.S. energy companies for the past decade, concern over shale drilling triggering earthquakes. That backlash against the process known as fracking reached China this week after a series of tremors killed two people and reduced homes to rubble. China's biggest oil and gas producer halted drilling around the country's shale hub after three quakes over 2 days toppled houses and caused cracks in dams holding back five small reservoirs. A further 12 people were injured and nearly 11,000 homes damaged, with losses pegged at about $2 million. The incident reportedly spurred about 1,000 residents to gather at a government building questioning whether increased shale drilling in the area was to blame. Much like similar scenarios have played out in the U.S., Chinese officials are saying more research is needed to determine whether the quakes were indeed caused by shale activity. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Futures pointed lower. S&P futures down 6. Dow futures down 64. NASDAQ futures down nearly 15 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street as we continue to follow the beginning of the Trump-Kim summit in Hanoi and prepare for Michael Cohen on Capitol Hill. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are falling. Let's go to the first word breaking in news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 67 points, S&P's dropped 7, and NASDAQ futures declined by 15. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.63%, and Japan rose 0.5% overnight, while European markets are trading lower, led by losses in Germany and the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, trade balance, and at 10 o'clock, pending home sales, factory orders, and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, Mylan 2019 adjusted EPS view missed estimates, and Weight Watchers is plunging 35% in the pre-market after its numbers. Regarding earnings this morning, Lowe's beat by a penny, and look for Best Buy to report around 7 a.m. In other news, GCP to explore options, including the sale of the company. And wrapping things up, Mylan was downgraded to market perform at Bernstein. Home Depot downgraded to hold over at DZ Bank. Weight Watchers cut to hold at SunTrust, and the price target cut to a street low 14 at JP Morgan. And Rent-A-Center downgraded to market perform over at Raymond James. Live from the First to Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un shook hands as they kicked off their second summit in Hanoi, Vietnam. President Trump says that Vietnam is thriving economically and that North Korea could, too, if it gives up its pursuit of nuclear weapons. Former Trump fixer Michael Cohen plans to tell the House Oversight Committee today that President Trump was aware of longtime advisor Roger Stone's efforts to reach out to WikiLeaks. Cohen says Trump was heavily involved in the pursuit of the Trump Tower Moscow project in 2016. In the NBA, the Knicks beat the Magic. The Celtics lost. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Bruins and Capitals were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Let's check what's going on in a very busy day in Washington, D.C. Of course, we have day two of testimony from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, this time before the House Financial Services Committee. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer goes before House Ways and Means today to update U.S.-China trade talks. As you heard Michael mention, Michael Cohen appears in public before the House Oversight Committee to detail what he calls lies and possible criminal activity by President Trump. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is strapped in for all that's going to be happening. Kate, we just heard the start of the Hanoi summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. But given the time inconsistencies, if nothing else, I would have to think that the Michael Cohen hearing is going to overshadow anything that happens in Hanoi today.
I think that's right. I mean, it sounds like the lion's share of the action in Hanoi is going to take place tomorrow, probably. And so tonight there's a dinner scheduled that Trump and Kim are both going to attend. But I think that that will be more, you know, niceties, that sort of thing, whereas the real negotiating, in as much as it happens, will probably likely occur tomorrow. And Michael Cohen will certainly be the, you know, headlining event today in Washington. I think people will be getting their popcorn ready and tuning in their televisions early, you know, to kind of watch what could be a real spectacle in the House Oversight and Reform Committee.
Yeah, I've seen reports that a number of bars in Washington, D.C. are going to be opening early to air the hearing. It's almost like D.C.'s version of the Super Bowl or March Madness or something like that. But before we get to Cohen, it's sort of interesting to hear the president's introductory remarks in Hanoi talking about the potential for North Korea to become an economic powerhouse, that their better relationship was the best outcome from the first summit. It raises some questions, doesn't it, about, you know, what the goal of the second summit is. Is it about getting firm steps toward denuclearization, or is this more about, shaking hands?
Well, it does raise that interesting question that caught my eye as well in Trump's remarks. I thought back to his previous summit with Kim, where he talked about, seeing the beaches of North Korea and thinking that would be a great place for a hotel. He made some comment to that effect the first time around. And obviously, Trump is, a real estate builder, business developer, hotel developer. And so it raises some questions even about his own personal, ambitions, or whether he might have some kind of, other motive for wanting to open up North Korea to foreign investment.
Yeah. And you wonder whether, what the goal for North Korea is. Is it to, become the latest emerging market, or, is it the Kim regime's own survival?
Well, I think for the Kim regime, what they're really looking for here and what Trump, frankly, has kind of given them is elevated status and international legitimacy. And so, now we have two times a U.S. president sitting down with Kim, who had essentially been snubbed by the world community, by the international community, and now is, getting an audience twice with the U.S. president. So in a lot of ways, that is, propaganda gold for the Kim regime.
All right. Let's turn to the Cohen hearing. You mentioned popcorn, possibly. Will there be anything of substance, though, to come out of this, do you think?
Well, we did hear last night that in his prepared remarks, Cohen is going to say that Trump was aware of the coordination or the discussions between Roger Stone, his longtime ally, and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. That was an interesting piece of information that I think, lawmakers are certainly going to want to know more about. So I do think there are opportunities here to move the needle in terms of drawing a clearer connection between Trump himself and what some of the people very close to him during the campaign have been accused of doing. And so I think that's what folks are going to be watching, myself included, very closely today during the hearing, is whether Cohen continues to connect those dots and whether there are, additional strings that he connects Trump to in terms of the criminal behavior that he's alleging the president was aware of and took part in.
Yeah, it's an interesting dot to connect, because we've heard from a number of particularly Democratic congressmen who've called WikiLeaks a Russian front. Does this bring the Cohen matter closer to the Mueller investigation?
It absolutely does. I mean, we know that Roger Stone has been indicted as part of the, Mueller investigation, and that he, a central part of what he was indicted over was his, dealings with WikiLeaks, and, not necessarily giving accurate representations about those. And so I think that this certainly brings the Mueller investigation, at least tangentially, into the conversation more than it was before. And now we know that he's not going to be, strictly speaking, able to answer questions about Mueller's investigation, but that doesn't mean they can't delve into, that lawmakers can't delve into, you know, some of these allegations that he's bringing forth in terms of what Trump knew about Roger Stone and when he knew it.
And of course, as we know, Michael Cohen has been convicted of lying to Congress. We know many Republicans are going to, you know, paint Cohen as a liar when he goes before Congress. And the president himself tweeted a couple hours ago from Hanoi that Cohen did bad things unrelated to Trump and his lying in order to reduce his prison time. Does Cohen have a credibility problem?
I mean, I think it's hard to argue that somebody that is under indictment for lying to federal prosecutors and to Congress doesn't have a credibility problem. However, I think the important thing to remember here is that Cohen's self-interest now lies in trying to not get additional prison time. And Mueller, you know, knows what Cohen knows and will be able to spot a lie very quickly, and that will make Cohen vulnerable to additional legal penalties. And so strictly from a self-interested perspective, it's not so much about whether he's a truth-telling person, but if he's a self-interested person, which we think we have seen that he is, it would be likely that he would want to avoid lying again.
And of course, that open hearing before the House Oversight Committee with former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen begins at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have frequent updates for you throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, know you're going to be very busy today. Thanks so much, as always, for taking the time. Read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM. HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
If you plan to bring on summer interns, now is the time to get ready. A good place to start is a local college. Most placement officials will welcome postings for internships. The process of writing a posting can help an owner formulate what the internship will entail. And some placement offices have guides to writing postings on their websites. The DePaul University College of Communication Guide, for example, says companies need to describe not only the prospective intern's responsibilities, but also their learning objectives. Many business owners find that interns are more dedicated when they're paid. If an intern is unpaid, an owner needs to make sure the work they're doing isn't work that an employee could be doing. That could be a violation of federal labor laws. Owners also need to think about where an intern will work in the company's premises and who will be their mentor. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. And futures this morning are falling, with S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 65, and NASDAQ futures down 15. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5% this morning. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.63%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil jumping up 1.9%, or $1.07 to $56.56. A barrel. And straight ahead, it is Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.